and go to Proverbs chapter 11. I love the Bible. I'm a Bible believer from cover to cover. I'm in love with this book. I fell in love with it when I got saved. I couldn't survive without it. I could do without a lot of things, but I could not do without my Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4 is a great verse in the Bible. And I love the things the Lord says in this book. It's amazing, you know, some of the things we take for granted, some of the colloquial slang that comes out of your King James Bible that we hear. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it says in the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's a great verse. This Bible can discern what's in your thoughts and intents of your heart. It can get to the heart of the matter real quick, this Bible can. And this Bible has all kind of neat things in it. And I love to preach about those things. I preached November on Keep Thy Foot. Y'all remember that? And the Bible has all kind of little colloquialisms like that in it that we hear a lot. And I preached on Keep Thy Foot. And the Lord has a way of expressing Himself in the Word of God. The Bible's practical. And it's profound. And according to Hebrews chapter 4:12, the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's powerful. And I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11. I want to preach about something tonight you hear all the time, found out of the Bible. And we hear it, but we don't really think about it much. But I want to preach about it a little bit. It's found over 60 times in the Bible. You've heard this phrase many times. And it's one of those phrases we hear a lot in the Bible. And it's pretty profound. It's a practical phrase. And it's profound and it's very powerful. And look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12 says this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. "But he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." And I want to preach on holdeth his peace. Holding your peace. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. That phrase is found over 60 times in the King James Bible. And that's a very practical and profound and powerful statement. Hold your peace. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 28 says this. Proverbs 17, 28 says this. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." You know what hold your peace means? It means to shut your mouth sometimes. That's what it means. It means hold your peace. And look at Matthew chapter 26. It's found throughout the Old Testament. It's found in the New Testament. And it's a great little phrase. We hear it all the time. You know, it's like one of those phrases found in the Bible. But you think about that phrase, and it's pretty amazing, especially when you think about it coming from the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And He's here before Pilate. Matthew chapter 26, verse 61 says this. 26:61. And it said this. "And this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God to build it in 3 days." He's talking about his body. "And the high priest arose and said to him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace." Didn't say a word. That means he just to hold your peace means to keep your mouth shut sometime. The phrase hold thy peace, it appears 60 times in the Bible. And it always references somebody keeping their mouth shut. That's what it means. And you think about it when it comes out of the Word of God, it gives that much attention 60 times in the Bible. If God gives it that much attention, then we ought to pay attention to it, shouldn't we, Miss Martha? 60 times in the Bible, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And I look it up in the dictionary about hold thy peace, what it means, and it says this. It says to misspeak, to say something embarrassing or wrong or to insult or speak when unnecessary, to cause mischief and discouragement or trouble with words or speaking. And it literally means this, to rob peace. And if you're not careful with your mouth, you know what you can do? You can take peace away. You can take peace away from your family. You can take peace away from your friends. You can take peace away from the church. If you're not careful, you need to hold your peace, because I tell you what can happen if you're not careful. You can take away the peace. You can just cause chaos and problems. Brother Bunk, he's not here. I was hoping he'd be here. But he preached a message a few years ago. Some of you remember. He said, killing someone without firing a shot. Y'all remember that? He's talking about the mouth. What he's talking about. You know, if you study your Bible and you read your Bible, there's more a warning and more about the sin of the mouth than any other sin in the Bible. The mouth can get you in trouble more than anything. And the Bible says, control, hold your peace. And thinking about God said that, the Word of God says that, and it's quick and powerful. That's a profound statement. Because according to that statement, hold your peace, that your peace in your life can be controlled by what comes out of your mouth. That's a pretty big deal. Especially when God said it. Hold your peace. You ever heard people say that? Hey, just hold your peace. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. James chapter 3, we'll look at that later. James chapter 3 said this in verse 7, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote that. The one that wrote this Bible, the Holy Spirit of God, the inspired Word of God, says that this tongue is no man can tame. It's an unruly evil and it is full of deadly poison. Hold thy peace. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, 21, the tongue can get you in trouble. Proverbs 18, 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I want to give you a few things on that. Just hold your peace. Hold your peace. Some practical things to help you, maybe. Some things I got thinking about this verse and thinking about it. First of all, I want to say hold your peace. Number one, and this is important, and I preached about some of this before. I want to say this morning, just calm it down a little bit. Calm it down. You know, a lot of times when we get in trouble and we don't hold our peace, you know what happens? We get ahead of ourselves. Sometimes we need to just slow it down and calm it down. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 25. Just calm it down. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32 says this. Proverbs 16, 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Just calm it down. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Just keep it calm down. Don't let it get ahead of you. Don't let the anger get ahead. Don't let your spirit get ahead. Don't let your emotions get ahead. Just calm it down. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. You want to hold your peace? Just calm it down. Just calm down. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28 says this, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You know what that is? That's when you're out of control. That's when you need to just calm it down and hold your peace. I gave you an article here a while back in Sunday school, a couple of months ago, about America. And the article was titled, America is Addicted to Outrage. We get mad about everything now. We're addicted to outrage. We got cable news. We got everything going on. We got people mad. They keep us mad all the time. And everybody's got a chip on their shoulder. And they stay mad all the time. You know what we need to do? We need to just take a chill pill and calm it down. Because you know what will happen? If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in some of that stuff and you'll lose your peace. Hold your peace. Just calm it down. You know, I had an article the other day and it was listening to of all the top states. It was called the sin states. Nevada was number one. Alabama was number six. Of the most sinning states in the nation, Alabama was number six. Alabama led the nation in anger and rage, it said. I believe it. Get on the interstate sometimes. You know what we need to do? You want to hold your peace? Number one, just calm it down. Just slow it down. Calm it down a little bit. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 29. One of the favorite phrases now, they got t-shirts now, it's called keep calm. Keep calm and eat pizza is one of them. I like my favorite one. It says keep calm and play dead. That's a pretty good statement. Just keep calm and play dead. I've seen one that says, keep calm and trust God. Amen. But you know what we need to do? You want to hold your peace? Number one, just calm it down. Slow it down. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says this. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Say, what does that mean? That means you need to tone it down and just not be so quick to pull out the gun and start shooting. You need to hold your peace. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, right after the book of Proverbs written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So what are you saying? I'm saying you want to hold your peace? Keep it calm. Just calm it down. Don't let your emotions take over. The Bible said in Galatians 5, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. Because if you're not careful, you can get worked up in this thing. And that's normally when you say something you wish you wouldn't have done. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Here's the verse we preach about. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Watch it. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food. What's the sacrifice of food speaking? Than to give the sacrifice of food, so they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. You say, who wrote that? The God in heaven wrote that. The God that inspired the Bible wrote that. That's pretty plain. You see what he's trying to say? Just calm it down. James chapter 1:19 says, it says, every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. And then it says, slow to wrath. James 1:19. See, if you're swift to hear and you're slow to speak, you'll take care of the slow to wrath. So what are you trying to say? You want to hold your peace? Just calm it down. Calm it down a little bit. Back in World War II, they had posters. And Brother Lonzo might remember it. He was born around that time, 1945, 1941, 45 is World War II. But I've seen them. And the posters have said this. It says, loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. And the idea was behind it, they were trying to tell the Americans to keep their mouths shut to the enemy. Don't be saying things. And they had all kind of posters around telling Americans and servicemen, loose lips sink ships. In other words, keep your mouth shut. Don't be talking about the enemy. Don't be talking about things. You're letting the enemy know things. And there's a little poem that went with it like this. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. That's pretty good. If your lips would keep from slips, don't let it slip out. Five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. That's pretty good philosophy. And just calm down and take a chill pill. You know what the best chill pill there is? Just right here. I mean, you get in situations you don't want to be in, getting to where you're kind of about ready to blow a gasket. You know the best thing you can do is just start quoting Scripture. I do it all the time. All the time. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he had a thing. Whenever he would speak or get in a situation where he might say something he shouldn't say, he would repeat in his mind the Lord's Prayer over and over. Thy Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To slow it down, to calm it down. I was reading a thing one time about, I was talking about that on the internet from a secular viewpoint, just to calm yourself down and not get caught up in the emotions. It would say, start singing verses of happy birthday in your mind. Happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me, happy birthday God. Whatever works, just calm it down. Just be careful. Hold your peace and calm it down. I want to say calm it down. I'm going to say something else tonight. Clam it up. Sometimes it's just good to clam it up. And sometimes it's just good to keep it shut. When you're in situations, sometimes the best thing to do is just not even open your mouth. I preached a message here February of 2017 on a little bird told me. Remember that? And it was out of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It said, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the verse, the voice, and that which the wings shall tell the matter. And I preached about that. Words have wings. You know what words that do if you're not careful? They'll come flying out of your mouth and they'll take off and fly around. They're like birds. They got wings. They're like birds. They'll wander off course sometimes. Sometimes you want to hold your peace, just clam it up sometimes. You don't have to say something every time. There's an old saying that says this: wise men speak because they have something to say, but a fool speaks because they have to say something. Wise men speak because they have something to say, but fools speak because they have to say something. I mean, sometimes it's just good to clam it up. 1 Timothy 5:13. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy, and go to Proverbs 29. 1 Timothy 5, Proverbs 29, and we'll go to Proverbs 17. What are you trying to say? I want to say just hold your peace. Sometimes it's just good to calm it down and not let those words fly out. And sometimes you might just have to clam it up. You might have to do just like old Barney used to say, pick a lock. Remember that? He'd say, pick a lock. Lock your lips up and throw away the key. Pick a lock. Might have to get some duct tape. Put it on. Well, you say, I want to say you hold your peace. Sometimes you just need to clam it up. Just clam it up. 1 Timothy 5:13 says this: and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattler. They just run in their mouth and busybody, speaking things which they ought not. I mean, that's Bible. That's what God says. God said, I didn't say it. But I want to say, just clam it up sometimes. Have you ever been in situations where man, oh man, oh man, oh man, I wish I would not have said that. I have. I bet everybody has in here. Probably last week. I said some pretty dumb things. And there's been a few times, Brother Alonzo, I wanted to go join the French Foreign Legion. It was so bad. Say why? Didn't hold my peace. Didn't calm it down. I remember years ago, I probably shouldn't even tell you this, but I was in a meeting there at work, and it's been about 15 years ago. And the guy, general ledger is a big deal in your job. If you don't know anything, Liz probably knows. She deals with bookkeeping. But that's where all the data's come together, and that's where your profits and your loss, and that's where the CEOs and the CFOs and all the big shots, they get together once a month, and they go through the books, and that's the general ledger. That gives them all the numbers and all that. And where I worked at, the guy that did the general ledger, he quit. And we had a consultant that was doing it, and they let him go, Forrest. $500 an hour, they let him go. He was a genius. And he quit, and the general ledger was out of balance. It was a mess. And I mean, when that gets a mess, that's a big, big, big deal. And guess who they wanted to fix it? I didn't know anything about general ledger, Miss Jane. I never worked on general ledger on that system. And I'm in here in a big meeting, and there's about 30 big shots in there. And they're all beating on me like I'm a human pinata. And I'm just happened to be the guy in line, Miss Martha. And they were beating on me. They were slamming their hands on the table. You've got to get this fixed. We got to get this straightened out. There's no we to it. It's me they're talking about. Finally, I'd had enough, Brother Ben. And I shouldn't have, but I did. And I stood up and I said, listen, I don't know anything about this system. And I said this, I said, if my children's life depended on fixing this, I couldn't fix it. And I walked out. I went back and apologized. I ate crow. You better watch what you say. But you know what I should have done? I've been beat up a lot of times on the job. You work in computers, you get beat up a lot. But you know what I should have done? I should have calmed down. You know what I should have done? I should have just clammed it up and took a beating. I had to end up fixing it anyway, get somebody in. But you ever done that? You ever just got in there and thrown that thing out and just let the thing fly? The best thing to do is, Brother Ben, is just hold your peace. Put your gun back in the holster.
like Brother Bunk, you know, killing somebody without firing a shot. Because if you're not careful, man, if you're not careful, you'll pull that thing out. Pow, 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 pow. And you'll think, oh, what did I just do? And I got news for you. You can't go back and fix it a lot of times. Oh, Andy Griffiths, you know, he on one of those shows, he's over there with Ellie, and he keeps saying things. He goes, oh, let me get that. Let me put that back in here. Don't work that way. You don't work that way. Sometimes you need to just clam it up. Hold thy peace. Clam it up. Look at Proverbs 29:11. It said, a fool loveth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in the afterwards. Calm it down. Clam it up. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Ecclesiastes 5:3, a fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words. Hey, what are you trying to say? Sometimes just clam it up. You say, preacher, are you talking about me this today? I say, yeah. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about me. Say, why? We all do it, don't we? We all do it. It's good advice. Just hold your peace. Calm it down. Clam it up sometimes. Whatever it takes. Hold your peace. Just bite your lips. Not only that, I want to say, calm it down. Calm it down. Just if you have to start breathing. I told you about a girl I used to work with, Leslie. Leslie was great. She was my boss for a while. And I loved working for her. She is really smart. And she had a great personality most of the time. And she'd go to bat for you against anybody. And but boy, did she have a temper. Whew! And boy, did she have a short fuse, Miss Jenna. And I don't care who it was. It could be the CEO. That's the head guy, you know. It could be Shane Spieth. It could be Greg, the CFO. It didn't matter who it was. If she just turned loose, she turned loose. And they kept her because she was so smart. She could get the job done. But boy, and when she would start talking, it was like a machine gun. It was, I mean, words would just come out so fast. And the CEO, Rich, he liked her. The CIO, he liked her. And so what Rich would tell her, he'd say, now listen, Leslie, you got to calm down and clam it up sometimes. He'd tell her, he said, now Leslie, before you speak, count to 50. Count to 50. And he'll say, just calm down and just count to 50 sometimes. And you'll see her sometimes in those meetings and her smoke about coming out of her ears. But she'll be going, 1, 2, 3, 4. Of course, it didn't always work because after 50, she had turned loose still. But sometimes it's good just to calm it down, just to clam it up. And I want to say, another thing to hold your peace, just clean it up. Just clean it up. Make sure what comes out of your mouth pleases the Lord. Make sure it praises God. Make sure it's something the Bible said, Jesus said. He said, man shall give account thereof of every idle word in the day of judgment. Make sure it's something when it comes out of your mouth that you can stand before God and say, okay, God, I did this for you. That's hard to do. But that's what the Bible says to do. Take your Bible, turn over Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is good stuff. Clean it up. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word. Whatsoever you do in word. That's what comes out of your mouth is words. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I mean, whatever comes out of the mouth ought to be something that ought to be pleased God. Just clean it up. Filter it with the Word of God. Make sure what comes out of your mouth is pleasing to the Lord. Because a lot of times we don't. And you know the problem with that? That verse, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, what comes out of our mouth can be used to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it can be used to damn somebody to hell if you're not careful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If they hear something come out of you that shouldn't come out and you're a Christian, you know what that can do? It can damn a soul to hell if you're not careful. I remember years ago I worked at Saunders Leasing. When I was coming out of Bible school, right before I went to Bible school, I worked there as a programmer. And there's a guy there named Philip Wigginton. Philip was a great Christian, got saved, got a divorce. During the divorce, he got saved, turned to the Lord. And that guy loved the Lord. Me and him, he played the guitar really well, could sing. He was a sharp guy. We was programmers. And they had another guy there named Sam. Sam claimed to be a Christian. And he was one of these guys where he would talk about it all the time. I mean, he'd talk about the Lord left and right. He'd talk more than we did. But he had a bad mouth. He'd curse. He'd curse. And he'd say things he shouldn't say. And there was a girl there that me and Philip had been witnessing to for quite a while. And I'll never forget it. We had her that close to getting saved one time. I mean, we had her to the point of getting ready to pray the sinner's prayer one time. And she looked it up, us, and she said, "Well, what about Sam? He said he's a Christian, and look at him, I don't see anything." And it just, the Holy Spirit just turned off. Tell you what I did. I went to the bathroom, and I got on my knees in the stall down there, and I wept before God and called God, and I said, "God, don't ever let that happen to me. Don't ever somebody look at my life and my mouth and say, hey, I'm not going to get saved because of him." I said, "God, if that happens, you take this tongue and you just paralyze it. Don't let another word ever come out of it. Clean it up. Hold up peace. Make sure what comes out of that mouth. Don't condemn somebody to hell." Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. What are you trying to say? Hold thy peace. Greatest peace you can give somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6. Here's the Lord talking. Clean it up. I've been around Christians, too many of them. Some that used to go to this church. They have a dirty mouth. Christians shouldn't have a dirty mouth, by the way. It ought to be clean, brother. I've done heard, I know all those words. I've heard one of them here, and I called him out about it. He said, "Well, they've heard worse on TV." Yeah, but I said, "This ain't TV, this is church, brother. This is not something we're going to get up here and curse at. Hey, they might have heard it on TV and television, but this is not TV. This is God's house. Clean it up. Clean it up." Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 45, here's the Lord talking. I didn't say this, God said it. Luke 6:46, a good man out of the good treasure of his house, of his heart. You know, when a man's got a dirty mouth, he's got a dirty heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his house, heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What are you trying to say? Clean it up. Clean it up. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. What are you trying to say? You want to hold your peace? Calm it down. Clam it up sometimes. Clean it up. Make sure what comes out of your mouth pleases the Lord, because you're going to give account for every word you've ever spoken before Him one day. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 21 says this. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. Watch this. The wise in heart, starts with the heart, shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding, verse 22, is a wellspring of life, and to him that hath it, but inheritance, instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. You know what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Watch it. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. You say, what are you trying to say? Hold your peace. Clean it up. Make sure it comes to the Lord. I could give you a lot about that. I want to give you one more thing. Down to 27 minutes. Hold your peace. Calm it down. Just calm it down. Don't get excited. It's not worth getting excited about anyway, most of our stuff. Like Miss Jana mentioned, gave that testimony up there about troubles. A lot of the troubles and the things that we fear and go through a lot of times and don't think we can get through it. You know what? When we come through it, we're a lot better than we came went in when God gets through cleaning us up. Just calm it down. Cram it up sometimes. Clean it up. And I want to give you one more thing. Cram it in. Cram it in. You say, what he's trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say cram the Word of God in. I look up the word cram. I love it. It means to completely fill to the point that it is overflowing.
We ought to have so much of the Word of God crammed inside me and you that it ought to be overflowing, ought to be coming out of our mouth, ought to be overflowing people. Brother Danny Hall and Dee Dee used to sing a song that said, "I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowing." We ought to cram so much of the Word of God in us, brethren, that it ought to be overflowing in us. There ought to be peace all around us. And you want to hold your peace? Just cram it with the Word of God. Turn to Psalms 119 and Colossians chapter 3. Psalms 119, Colossians chapter 3. I'm fixing to be close. I got to give you a lot more, but I try to limit to 30 minutes on Sunday night. I don't know how tired you are. Some of you have to go to work, like Miss Liz and Brother Chris and some of them. Miss Jane, she's got to get up. Don't you go to work in the morning. You're off on Wednesday. Psalms chapter 119, what do you say? Cram the Word of God in. Cram it in. Cram it in. Calm it down. Clean it up. Clam it up. That's the way he's trying. Hold your peace. Just hold your peace. Psalm 119 verse 165 is a great verse. I love this verse. It's right here. It ought to be on your lips. It says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law." That's the Word of God. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I mean, if you love the Word of God and you cram that Bible in, doesn't matter what anybody does to you, doesn't matter what it says, it doesn't matter what goes on, it ought to not offend you. You ought to be able to take it with a smile and just say, "Praise the Lord." And just keep going, just cram it in. Cram the Word of God in, brother. If you want to hold your peace, cram the peace in. This is the Word of God. "Great peace are they that love thy law." David wrote in Psalms 119 that great verse, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." He crammed it in. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Crammed it in that I might not sin against thee. Just cram it in till it's overflowing, brethren. Turn over Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll close with this one here. Give you a little bit on this one. I could give you a bunch of stuff here. I got all kind of verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, this is a great verse. And it says, Colossians 3, verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity." That's love in action. That's what that means. "Which is the bond of perfectness." Watch this. "And let the peace of God," look what it says, "rule in your hearts." You want to hold the peace? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it rule you. Don't let it just be there. Let it rule in your hearts. Look what it says. "To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Watch it. "And let the word of Christ dwell in you." Cram it in. Richly. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's what you're trying to say. Just let it dwell in you richly. Cram it in. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," there's that verse. That's how you do it. You know how you do in word or deed? When the Word of God dwells in you richly, then those things will happen. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him." That's what you're trying to say. Hold your peace. Just hold your peace. Just watch it. Be careful. Calm it down. Don't let it just jump out. Clam it up if you have to. Just get you some duct tape or a gym clip or whip that thing up. Clean it up. Make sure what comes out of that lip pleases the Lord. And I want to say, just cram it in. Cram the Word of God in. Make it overflowing in your life. And hold your peace. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the precious Word of God you've given us, Lord. And thank you for these truths, Lord, so profound. So simple and yet so truth, Lord. What we can do with our mouth, the power of death and life are in the tongue, Lord. And Lord, what's in our mouth, Lord, we can take peace, rob peace, steal peace. All the Lord, or we can just hold our peace, Lord.
And you mentioned that many times, Lord. Help us to be careful, Lord. One day we know we're going to give account for every word we've ever spoken, is what you said. For every word, every idle word, man shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, you said. And realize, Lord, help us, Father, to be careful what comes out. Make sure, Lord, it's pleasing, filtered with the Word of God. It's something, Lord, that we can stand before You one day with it and say, well, Lord, I did it for You. I did it all to the glory of God, word or deed, Father. Pray a blessing upon the message, upon the week coming up this week, Lord. And just pray, God, help us, Father, be a witness, Lord. Pray for that soul that's nearest hell that comes our way, God. Help us, Lord, not to ignore them, Father. Be a witness now. We love You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.